This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we are broadcasting live from the hermetically sealed Tab Computer Systems Radio Studio in lovely East Hartford, Connecticut. And we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. So if you're able to get online and know you're all not doing anything, you're just hanging out. So great time to cuddle up with your computer, and if you have any issues or you want to talk about how to access your systems remotely or what have you, we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, and questions. So, Bob, you had some news for us?
Yeah, I got a few articles here if we need them.
All right.
Dyson designs and builds new type of ventilator for coronavirus patients in 10 days.
Wow.
So they actually went from the drawing...
The drawing board, right to manufacture
in 10 days. That's not bad.
Yeah.
The appliance maker is reportedly supplying 10,000 of its Covent ventilators to the UK's National Health Service. Dyson reportedly designed and built a new ventilator in 10 days called, So anyway, a ventilator supports a patient who's no longer able to maintain their own airways. But sadly, there's currently a significant shortage both in the UK and other countries, including the US and around the world. James Dyson reportedly wrote in a letter to employees, "The race is now on to get into production. The ventilators will be ready in early April, according to CNN, with Dyson also set to donate 5,000 Covent machines globally."
Very good.
So,
well, in other news, you guys have been noticing as you've been working from home, broadband speeds are plunging over 40% in some of these cities out there. There's a company called Ookla that does speed testing. You're all probably doing speed testing, wondering why your performance is so poor. And it's because you're all on the internet. I'm sorry to say, we're all on the internet.
At the same time.
Yeah. And so the broadband speeds that were promised you by your broadband companies can't be delivered. So just think of the highways that we have now are wide open, but you're all stuffing up the internet, the information superhighway. So I guess Al Gore didn't plan for that. And if you want to check this out, we'll put the link up here for you. But basically, they analyzed 88 of 200 cities And I've noticed some network degradation over the past week compared with 10 weeks prior. So they're able to actually tell the areas that are being hardest hit. And they had listed a few cities that are being the hardest hit. Oxnard and Austin, Winston-Salem have all dropped their broadband speed averages down to 44 megabits or 46 megabits. So it's not you. It's basically the internet itself is buckling. Hopefully it'll hold up, and I'm sure it will. But it is definitely being stress tested. You might have noticed on the East Coast, Google lost us a router and brought all sorts of services down. I think it was Tuesday. We had talked about the fact that YouTube was going to limit video quality in the UK. The UK had asked them to do so because, again, those videos take up bandwidth. And anytime you try to stream something at 1080p or 4K especially, it's literally like multiple Mack trucks trying to get down that highway. I know here in Connecticut, where just weeks ago we were vilifying the Mack trucks, now all of a sudden they're our saviors. We were going to toll tax them to death. Now we love them. Same thing happens when you download a 4K video. Those Mack trucks are stuffing the pipe of the internet with your 4K video. So please stop streaming your 4K video. I promise you really can't tell the difference anyways. That's just me, but I can't tell the difference really between a 4K video and a 1080p video. They're both high definition, but I was getting Facebook folks responding to me, Eric, they're only going to do this in the UK. Well, I brought it up because I figured it was coming here, and it is coming here. So YouTube will limit the video quality around the world for a month, which is probably a good thing. You'll still be able to see videos, just not in super high definition. What do you got, Bob? Anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah, two GM plants will build ventilators and masks to help fight COVID-19 pandemic. A plant in Indiana will build the ventilators, while a previously closed plant in Michigan will manufacture surgical masks. General Motors was the first U.S. automaker to officially lend a hand to the coronavirus pandemic after it announced a partnership with Ventec to expedite production of ventilators. Yet GM's going further and plans to build the machines in-house.
Nice.
On Friday, the automaker said it already started retooling its plant in Kokomo, Indiana, to build ventilators in partnership with Ventec. Previously, the efforts only went as far as GM lending purchasing logistics and manufacturing expertise to the company. The shift to build the machines in-house is a big one, and it comes as COVID-19, which the coronavirus causes, continues to spread in the U.S.
Right. Well, that's good news. In other news out there, Taiwan is leveraging your technology. So geofencing is a technology whereby for advertisers, even like, let's say if you wanted to advertise on Computer Talk, we have a podcast, right? So that podcast can be heard all over the world, frankly. But let's say you're somewhere in Florida and you wanted to tell people to come to your coffee shop. You could geofence that area of Florida with your radio spot, and folks listening to our podcast that were in that specific geofence, let's say it's, you know, St. Petersburg, would get your spot. Geofencing now in Taiwan is being used to quarantine folks. So if you actually find yourself outside of the geofence that the Taiwan officials have set for you, you could be arrested. And of course, just don't let your battery die, because then of course the police will be coming to your door as well. But it is an interesting way to manage the entire population by saying, okay, Bob lives, you know, we all know Bob lives in Bristol. I live in Southington. I'm going to geofence those guys. So if they go outside of Southington or outside of Bristol, then the police can come and track you down. A little scary. The technology does exist, though. Obviously, if you turn off your phone, you will be able to move past the geofence, but you're going to have to explain it to the officer when he asks you for not your papers, please, but your phone system, please. So it's coming to a future near you, I suspect. And one other thing before we go to the break here that I could not believe here. 77-year-old fined for playing Pokemon Go amid Spain's coronavirus lockdown. What are you thinking? So this guy's out there catching Pokemon Pokemon is a game designed for little kids. Neither, you know, fine. If you like playing Pokemon, that's great. But you're supposed to be in quarantine. We're supposed to be. We're all trying to stay in house to save folks who are generally older and more susceptible. And you go out trying to catch Pokemon. And he literally got a ticket. He was arrested was given a ticket for catching Pokemon. And basically, they're not taking this lightly here. And clearly, the guy playing Pokemon was. So, you know, come on, we all got to work together to get through this. And if you're not going to take it seriously, how do you expect anybody else to take it seriously? But of course, Pokemon could contribute to this, right? Pokemon Go could stop releasing the little Pokemon characters for you to catch. But they haven't done that, have they, Bob? So it is what it is. So we're going to step out for a quick break. We've got the calls coming in. We've got Eric, John, and Greg. And, of course, one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be here right through to 11 o'clock. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock, and we'll do our best to take your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And let's get right to your calls. We're going to go, looks like Eric in Berlin first. Morning, Eric.
Morning.
What can we do for you, sir?
Yeah, I have a couple computers I want to recycle. What should I do to them before I turn them in? Should I take out the hard drives?
Definitely take out the hard drive. So what you can do is you can format the hard drive, number one. Just do a basic format command. That'll erase the data electronically. You're not using a tool like Bleachbit, like our former Secretary of State did, but you'll format the hard drive. Then you can, yes, take the hard drive out of the computer and drill it. Drill a hole in it. Use safety glasses.
Okay.
And then once you're done with that, you can then include the hard drive with your recycling. So the recycling company will then take the bits and pieces of it. They won't be able to get any data off of it because you've done some serious damage to it.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And with some of the places you can go to, Green Monster in West Hartford is a company we use for the recycling here at Tab, and it works out. They do a good job. Speaking of West Hartford, let's go to John in West Hartford. What's going on, John? John, you there? John, you listening? I guess I'll put John on hold and move on to Greg in Naugatuck. What's going on, Greg?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir. What's up?
It's not really a good morning, but anyway.
I hear you.
I have a 3-year-old Dell computer, and it's good one. It's got the best stuff going. In any case, a couple of weeks ago, down in the taskbar, down in the lower left, you got the icons that have volume and signal strength and that stuff. Just started to blink on and off. Just that area, not the. The time or date or anything, but just those icons. But everything worked okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, this isn't good. So anyway, I used the computer. Now this week, added in now, I'll be on the computer, and the screen is okay, and then all of a sudden, intermittently, the screen will blink to a white screen with a bunch of vertical colored bars in it, then it'll blink back to the page I'm on, and it'll go on for like a half hour, blinking back and forth, and then it'll clear up. It'll slowly stop and it'll work.
Hmm.
But then at any other time again, I can shut the computer off, restart it, whatever. At any other time, intermittently, the darn screen, you know, goes to white with stripes and back.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to ask. any clue?
It could be a couple of things. Is this a laptop?
It's a laptop.
A laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be that the RAM is starting to fail. So
okay.
It could be that you need to replace the RAM because that's tied in, it's integrated into your video. More than likely, the video card on your laptop is starting to fail. So what you could try to do is plug in an external monitor if you have one and see if the same thing happens on your external monitor.
Oh, okay.
So if your external monitor works without a blip, but your laptop screen still does it, then it's the video card.
Video card, okay.
Right. If your laptop still does it, actually, it's your monitor, then the laptop that went. If the video card works on an external monitor, then your video card's okay. Right, Bob?
Well, yeah.
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 So, he had that backwards.
Say that again, guys.
So, again, please. If you plug in the external monitor and your video is clean, the video card inside the computer is okay.
Okay.
All right. That's the key. If your monitor is still messed up on the laptop itself, after you've tested that, then you know that the monitor on the laptop is going, and I would not recommend paying any money to repair it or replace it.
I was afraid of that. Just too much money, huh?
How old is it?
3 years old.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too short a time.
Yeah, I mean,
it's right
it
there
is.
On the edge.
That's why I said to you, I'm afraid to ask, because I had a feeling it's probably some kind of hardware problem. I shake the thing around, you know, that doesn't do it. It just plain does it by itself, you know, when it wants to. But it's getting more and more frequent, so.
Yeah, you plug the external monitor in. Again, you can always run with an external monitor all the time. You could just keep using that computer with an external. You literally close the top of the laptop, plug an external keyboard in, external monitor, and if it all works, you're good.
Okay, now I'm connecting an external monitor, which I can get a hold of. How do I connect that into my computer?
Well, you have to have a video port. There needs to be some sort of HDMI video port on the laptop for you to plug
on
into.
On the laptop, okay, HDMI.
Yeah. That's probably what you'll find. You could find something else, though.
It could be VGA, which would be a blue connector.
Right.
Okay.
So read your manual. It'll tell you what you have for connectivity.
Thank you very much, guys. I do appreciate your help. And
all
keep
right.
it up.
Yeah, and cheer up there, bud. We'll get through this.
Yeah, better days are coming anyway.
Well, just think, you can go to the grocery store now and get plastic bags again.
Yeah,
that you can put your food
right.
in nice, clean, disposable bags like we should have in the first place. Isn't that? That's an upside.
Yep.
Things are looking up.
they will be eventually, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Again, thank you very much.
Our pleasure. All right, let's move on to Jack in Glastonbury next. Hey, Jack.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you doing, sir?
Good. Hey, I've got a question. I've read about these things before where you use your PC. They let a company, like a scientific company or a scientific organization, university or whatever, they steal cycles off of your machine when you're not busy.
Well, stealing's a strong word. They borrow.
Borrow. They don't give them back to you, though. So
well, no.
But,
yeah, they're using them. It's we talked about something like that last week. I think it's called folding at home.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I didn't hear your, unfortunately, I didn't hear your broadcast. So I'm thinking about installing that.
Yeah.
But is there any downside to it? Because I have my main desktop and got a couple older PCs that I could, you know, fire up and just let them.
Yeah, let them do it. You know, I think there's no downside that I could tell you. Basically, okay. It's only going to run when the machine is in idle mode. You're going to offer up your CPU cycles, and you're going to maybe solve or help to solve this coronavirus thing. They're talking about like petaflops of power that have been now applied to this, which is pretty amazing. And this started out with things like SETI, you know, way back when, the search for extraterrestrial life. You could actually do an analyzation of a chunk of audio that was collected out of deep space, and your computer would be assigned to it. You'd process it and find the answer. This folding at home is, again, trying to help solve this whole coronavirus thing using all of our computers. So it's a good thing to try.
All right. One other quick question in regards to that. Is it something that if you need to uninstall it, it's like an app that you can see out there and you can just uninstall it if you need to?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be malicious in any way, and if right. you need to uninstall it, you can. Be careful. Make sure you get it from the right source, right? There's a lot of bad guys out there that are leveraging COVID.
Well, what I'm looking at, I'm pretty sure is the real source. It's called, their website's called foldingathome.org.
Right, that is correct.
Okay. All right.
But people will actually Google something and put in, you know,
right.
The wrong information will come up, and you'll end up working for the bad guys mining cryptocurrency or something.
Right. Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate
you. Thank you. And good. Bye-bye. And thanks for helping out. Definitely worth doing, guys, is if you've got, you know, your CPU is just sitting there and you want to have it do some work, you can go ahead to Folding at Home and have it start, help process the mystery of COVID. It's a good thing. So we don't have enough time necessarily to take a call, but we're gonna be here till 11 o'clock. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. John in West Hartford, hang on. We'll get to your calls after the news break. Everything we've talked about already has been posted live by Mike G. It goes over to computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook and like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, everything we talk about will get into your news feed. And believe it or not, we are working on doing a Facebook live stream. We weren't ready for this broadcast, but maybe in the next broadcast or so, we will be live streaming through WTIC's Facebook page. So you can see our why we're on radio. We both have faces for radio, right, Bob? I mean, your wife wouldn't agree, but we'll be live streaming this program and see how that goes on Facebook Live. We expect to do it by next Saturday. I'm very close to having all the equipment set up. So stick around. We'll be here till 11 o'clock. Everything we talked about posted live for you by Mike G. We appreciate what he's doing for us out there. And we're going to be here for you until 11 o'clock, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Oh, one thing I did want to bring up before we go to the bottom of the hour. I took a virtual real estate tour. My wife and I are looking to plan our escape of Connecticut in the future someday. And we were looking at property remotely. The real estate agent used Zoom and actually walked us through the property remotely. So the technology, you know, you don't even have to be there anymore. You can have your agent go ahead and walk through the property with you, and you can look at it from the comfort of your home. I mean, we were remote. My wife was like, all right, turn left, turn right, take a look up there, look it down there, check out the cabinets. And worked out beautifully. With high-definition technology these days and simple Zoom application, you can do a lot of stuff remotely. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Feel free to get online during the news, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We are live from the hermetically sealed Tab Computer Systems radio studios in lovely East Hartford, Connecticut. And we're doing our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So we'll get right to your calls. I don't have the call board here, so I'm looking at thinking that John in West Hartford, are you still there, John?
Yes, I am.
All right, sir. Morning. What can we do for you?
I'm a fairly recent upgrade to Windows 10 from a Windows 7. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is when I boot up, let me back up. I'm a Comcast customer, so I use McAfee,
all right.
Which is free, you know, comes with your subscription.
Mm.
But when I boot up, every time I do, I'm getting a message saying that the computer's trying to open up a file called .gyjrou, G-Y-J-O-R-U. And it doesn't know how to handle the file, so it's looking for Windows to tell me, how do you open that file type? Of course, I don't open it
because
I'm not sure what kind of file it is. But it happens every boot up.
So G-Y-A-R-U?
Dot G-Y-J-O-R-U.
G-Y-J.
And I haven't been able to find anything about it. But McAfee is reporting a conflict because of two antivirus programs running, and I'm wondering, is this because of Windows Defender and McAfee? Should I shut one off versus the other? Or is it really a virus file that hasn't been handled, you know?
Yeah, so I did some searching. I can't find anything on that file at all.
Okay.
I'll tell you also that Windows Defender should have already automatically turned itself off by detecting McAfee on your system.
Should, It appears like they're both active. Now, Windows is not reporting a conflict, but McAfee reports the conflict, saying due to more than one virus program, there's going to be problems. So okay. I was wondering, how to verify Windows is off. Do you recommend me just sticking with the McAfee since it's a paid subscription? Or do you think the Windows Defender is a better route?
It's not. Windows Defender is not a better route anymore. We used to recommend that free stuff on the operating system long ago, but it's like the fox guarding the hen house as far as I'm concerned. You really can't have Microsoft to be trusted to check to see if you've got any problems with Microsoft. So I would turn off Defender, let your McAfee run the show. You should always let a paid antivirus these days run the show. Now, if you've got McAfee, that's great. We don't recommend, things like Kaspersky or Avast. These are antivirus companies out of Russia and the Czech Republic. Those in the old days, we were a little lax, but now we have to think a little twice about it. So McAfee is definitely a good option. Webroot is a good option. There's other American manufacturers of antivirus that we can link as well. But don't run both. Turn off the Defender. It should be easy enough to turn off right there in your security tab.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bob's working on a link here for you too, right, Bob?
Yep.
He's got a way to permanently.
In terms of that file, you couldn't find it, so I probably shouldn't. I mean, but every time I turn on the computer, it's trying to open that file. So I don't know what the heck that's,
So you're going to have to go to your startup menu to try to find out what is kicking off that file. I can find nothing relating to that word or that bunch of characters you gave us. The closest thing has to do with a Japanese girl. G-Y-A-R-U. So this is very bizarre. I don't know what that file is or something in your startup is trying to run something, but it's not running.
Well, I'm not letting it. Every time I say, no, don't try to open it.
Right. So if you go to your startup menu within Windows 10 and see what's running in startup, you could find that there's something being called that somehow relates to this, but I couldn't tell you what it is. By doing a Google search and not even coming up with the word, it's kind of bizarre.
Okay. I will look for that. I had one other quick question, and it can be answered on a link if possible.
Okay.
A while back, I had tried to set up the DNS that you guys had recommended.
OpenDNS?
OpenDNS, yeah. And I have basically gone out and bought my wireless gateway versus renting it.
Yeah.
And when I went through the process, and this is going back, it wouldn't let me complete it because they said some of the control settings were controlled by Comcast. Now, I believe last week you mentioned that it can be done at the PC level, even if I can't configure my gateway. Is that the best way to go?
Yeah, that's a way to go. But if you bought your own router, Comcast should have no control. So the Comcast box that's plugging into your own wireless router, once you've got your own device, they have no power there.
Okay.
So all I'm guessing, though, is that what could be happening is you're connecting to the wireless interface that Comcast is offering you with the box they've given you as well. So if you're connecting to the wrong SSID, the Comcast SSID versus the John SSID, then that's your problem. But if you've got your own device, Comcast has no power, and basically your router will hand out IP addresses, which are the local addresses like 192.168.1. Along with your open DNS IP addresses. So there should be nothing that they have any power to stop you doing, period. But yes, in a pinch, if you're having trouble figuring it out, you could always put the OpenDNS settings in each individual system. But I want you to protect your phones. I want you to protect your people who come into your home automatically and when they log into your Wi-Fi. So I think you just got to do a little more work on your DHCP settings, DHCP server settings within that firewall. Because you're missing something.
Okay.
You know?
If I can go back and look for the previous links, I think I might try to go, from scratch to try to get that process going. And
we all got nothing to do, so what the hell? Default your firewall, right? What else are you going to do?
If the links are available or if you could put it back up, it would be greatly appreciated.
We'll link it again. It's always good to have OpenDNS on there.
Awesome. I appreciate your time, and I'll let the next person move in.
All right, John. Thank you.
Yep. Take care.
Yep. You too. And all right. So let's go on to Rich in Glastonbury next. Hey, Rich.
taking my call. I really enjoy listening to your show.
Oh, and, thank you.
I have two separate questions. I have a Samsung TV,
yep,
which works very well, and then I have a Memorex DVD VHS player,
huh,
which is built in 2008, but it's like brand new. A friend of mine gave it to me.
Hmm.
But the problem I'm having, the cables that came with the Memorex, they're red, yellow, and white.
Yeah.
And I look at the connection points on the Samsung, they don't match.
Right.
They're different colors.
Right.
So I don't know how to hook it up. And somebody mentioned, well, maybe I could use a USB port, but I wasn't too sure how to do it or how to hook it up.
You got to adapt it. You have to adapt the red, yellow, and white connections over to your component video, which is what you're looking at, which is like the red, green, blue. So you need to go to a company like Cables and Connectors on the Berlin Turnpike.
Okay.
And if a thing exists that'll adapt the red, white, and yellow connections over to component video or to any other interface on that Samsung, they'll have it. And then once you've adapted it, there you go. Because your DVD player, though, is not really going to put out very good signal. Those are all low-definition connections. The red, yellow, and white connections are all low-definition. So once you get it connected to your nice TV, you're going to be like, wow, this stinks.
Hmm.
That's why he gave it to you for free, by the way.
Oh, no, he's a good friend, and he just had it in storage and wasn't using it. But would they know the connections to make to the TV? Like, should I bring the manual with me so they could take a look at it?
You bring a manual, man. Geeks like us love manuals.
Yeah. The only manual I could get was online.
Yeah, that's normal. Nobody sends them out anymore.
Yeah, but it's like 50 pages long, so it's pretty long.
Well, just print out the pages that are having to do with the interfaces.
Okay.
Just that's all you need to do. Go to bring up the PDF on your computer and only print those pages relating to the inputs.
Okay. So they would then match the correct cables that would go from the recorder to the TV.
Correct.
Okay.
They exist.
How about using a USB? Would that work?
Well, again, a USB input might work. It all depends on the interface, if you can get the cable that would go in between. But generally, USB on the TV side, I don't think it's probably not going to work that way. You want to use HDMI or component video, whatever you've got for your video inputs. USB is probably not there.
Okay.
Right, Bob? I can't think of a USB interface.
It would have to be specific to your equipment.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, because it used to be so easy with the older TVs.
Yeah.
The colors would match. I would just plug it in.
Right.
And it would work within
2008 seconds. Is a long time ago, bud.
I know.
That was our last crisis period, right? Yeah. That was the last crash or dealt with, the last crisis.
Well, this could be a crash player then.
Exactly. Yeah, and again, I don't think you're going to be too happy when you get it working anyways. I mean,
okay,
it's not going to be very high definition. If you really want to get a good connection these days, just you can get cheap DVD players for almost nothing.
Yeah, I have a lot of good tapes, though, and I could convert them over.
Okay.
But I said if I could get this working, I'll just use it. And if not, I'll just convert them over.
All right.
Thank you. And could I ask a second question also?
We got to put you on hold. We got to take a break or Matt's going to yell at me.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll put you on hold there and get to your calls. A couple more lines open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We are back. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to stick around. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. And we'll go back to Rich. You had a second question. You there, Rich?
Thanks for taking me back.
Yeah, sure.
The second question is, this is on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on the computer yesterday morning, and what happened, a screen came up, and it said they can't connect the problem connection to the Internet. So it had several other screens I went through to do troubleshooting, which I went through, and it still didn't work. So I called Cox Communication. I spoke with two different technicians, and they went to the second level, their higher-level technician.
Mm-hmm.
So he went through several tests also, and he still couldn't get it to work, and he felt it was the modem.
Yeah.
So I went over to the Manchester store. They gave me a new modem.
Yeah.
I gave him the old one. And I didn't hook up the new one yet. And The question I have when I hook up the new one, are there any things I should be concerned about with the new modem hooking it up?
Well, you got to give them the MAC address. I'm sure they told you that. You're going to have to call them and give them the MAC address of the modem.
Okay.
Now, before you hook it up, you know you don't have to rent it from them, right?
I know, but what I like is the support. I'm probably intermediate-level computer person.
Yeah.
And I like to be able to call somebody to get answers.
I hear you.
Like when I call you guys, I always get good answers.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate that, but just if you think about it, you still did all the work yourself.
I know.
You went out and got a modem. You went over to the store, gave them a modem, plugged it in. The thing about internet problems, 99% of the time, all you got to do is reboot the modem.
All right.
So if it's an internet problem, with the support they're going to give you for quote-unquote for free is pretty minimal, right? The moment you ask them for anything else besides their service, they're going to start charging you.
Yeah, they didn't charge yet, but
no.
the price of the modem did go up. It went from 8 a month to 11 a month.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and there is no choice. There's nothing in between. And it's,
no.
Either got to pay that or you don't get the modem.
Or you don't get the service.
Well, so you could buy your own modem.
Yeah, go buy your own modem for $50 or $60 at Staples, and you'll be whole in 6 months.
Yeah. You know, I'm still thinking about that, but I think for now I'm just going to do the hookup for now and see what happens. But
yeah, sure.
But is there anything I have to be careful about? Because
no.
I could probably call them for questions also.
There really is nothing you have to be careful about. Just take a look at how your current one is connected.
All right.
And note the MAC address. All right, there's probably a big sticker with that MAC address on there because you're going to have to call them and they're going to allow that device to connect to their network.
Okay.
If you don't call, that's something you have to do no matter whether you buy your own modem or if you're using theirs.
Yeah, because eventually I'm going to look into getting one because $11 a month adds up pretty quickly.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And couldn't you do something with $11 a month somewhere else?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Well, and all you're doing is paying them to connect to their system.
I know. I guess what happens, we become kind of so accustomed to doing something, we just keep doing it.
Right, but you add up all these fees, and you add up the extra taxes and costs.
I know.
I mean, you're going to pay sales tax on that thing, too. So it's not only $11, but you're also paying the governor to rent your modem.
You're paying for that modem that you're renting for them twice the cost every year.
Plus tax.
Yeah, I know. And it does keep going up, too.
Yeah, they could really set it to whatever they want.
Yeah, but all right. I want to thank you. You're both very helpful, and I hope we all stay healthy. Your audience and everyone that listens to you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Let's go on to Keith in Manchester next. Hey, Keith.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you, sir?
Good. Should I put my gloves on for this phone call?
Ah, yeah. Whatever you got to do. Whatever keeps you sane.
Anyhow, staying on the same theme, I actually want to stop paying Comcast $14 a month to rent my 3-in-1, I guess it's called, for voice, internet, and cable.
Yeah.
So I have a knowledgeable friend that has recommended that I get a Netgear Nighthawk, I think it's C7-100V. And then the previous caller was talking about, you were talking about just getting something for $50. I'm looking around, the one that I'm looking at is not $50. As a matter of fact, it went up $27 in the last week or so.
Mm.
But it, because I have voice, internet, and cable, do I need that more robust, I'm saying robust, I don't know what it does, device?
You might. So if it needs to support the actual voice line, then you need a device that'll handle all those things. I'd tell you to get rid of that voice line, but that's a whole other discussion. Just go to your cell phone. You already probably have enough cell phones in the house. But yes, you'll need a device that'll handle all those technologies, and it will cost you more. So that's basically a modem, a router, all built in, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say a modem by itself is about $50-$60. So most people most people have the two separate devices. The modem, which connects you to the broadband company, and then your own router firewall. Yours is all built in. That's why it's more expensive.
Okay, great. So then can I expect, and maybe you don't know this based on the device I have, can I expect better performance in the house when I have my own device, or does that not matter?
You could. It all depends on how good the Wi-Fi radios are, how powerful they are. So you might see a better benefit from them versus your old one, sure.
So then it gets to the third question. We have three people in the house working from home now.
Yep.
And one of the things, I've been doing remote calls with a lot of people, video conferencing, and one of the guys pixelates all the time, and suddenly it's great. Hey, what did you do? He said, I bought a Wi-Fi extender and a little Netgear plug-in type of thing.
Yeah.
Any opinions on those things? And before you answer, should I first dump the one I have, quit paying the rental, buy the new one, see how it works, then worry about an extender?
Correct. That's the way you would approach it. If the new routers these days are really very powerful. I replaced mine at home. I put a link up there for you as far as what I chose. Now mine's just a router Wi-Fi device, but like I joke, you know, my hair is blown back by the Wi-Fi signal. So yes, check out what you get first, see how well it covers your home, and then if you need to extend the technology or the Wi-Fi broadcast, then get a similar make of Wi-Fi extender or Wi-Fi device that'll allow for that extension to occur seamlessly. So I'm sure Netgear has devices that you can place within your home that'll pick up the signal and throw it further, or it'll interface through your power, all sorts of ways to extend that within your network. So your guy on the other end had a poor connection. He improved it with what he did.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And one last question, as you're mentioning dumping the phone, what's your opinion on Magic Jack?
Magic Jack is great. Ooma is great. Both of those devices work the same way. They're voice over IP technology. You would not have to pay. All you would end up paying is the FCC charges on your line. So it's
right.
All free.
And so if I buy that new device that has 3-in-1 and supports voice, and I get rid of voice, no big deal. I've just spent more money than I need to, but
right.
I can still use that same device?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah,
you're sure. Helpful as always. I love the show, and thanks very much.
My pleasure, sir. Good luck.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. So, yeah, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Bob and I here at the Tab Computer Systems Radio Studio in East Hartford, Connecticut. It is hermetically sealed, so we are safe. Feel free to get online during the news, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out with the computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Also, everything we talked about was posted live by Mike G over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. Go check out our live links. And if you follow us on Facebook and like us at Tab Computer Systems, it'll get into your newsfeed. We'll be right back.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.